Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing to talk about financial stewardship. I've been teaching on this, I think, for 6 weeks. I'm nearing the end of this teaching, and I tell you, we've covered some powerful, powerful truths. This week, I've been talking about how that if you are going to prosper God's way, you are going to have to start learning to give, because that is an absolute integral part of God's prosperity, is to give. There's many people that are praying and asking God for financial blessing, and yet they're afraid to follow His instructions and give. And I've already used a bunch of scriptures on this. I've used Psalms chapter 50. I've used Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 11, Mark chapter 10. Just in the last couple of days, I've used all of these verses that just talk about how that if you give, then it is given back unto you. I've also used Luke 6:38, which is a scripture I've quoted nearly every day, where it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall man give into your bosom." And so giving is an absolute integral part of God's prosperity. Again, I just want to point out that I'm putting this last, not because it's unimportant, but because the motive behind your action is more important than your action. Many people will take the truths that I'm talking about this week and talk about giving, and they encourage people to give because if you give $1,000, you're going to get a brand new house. You're going to get a brand new car. And it's just all selfish. And the scripture teaches in 1 Corinthians 13:3 that if you give not motivated by love, it says specifically that if I give all of my goods to feed the poor, or if I give my body to be burned and have not charity, God's kind of love, it profits me nothing. Your motive can totally wipe out your giving. And again, many people just take these verses that I'm using this week and talk about give and say that you'll get this back and you'll get this, and it's all selfish. There is no love. There's no faith involved. It's all, man, it's just like putting money in a slot machine and putting the handle and then you expect to receive. God's not like that. And this is what's turned a lot of people off to prosperity teaching, is because they take these scriptures on giving and just use it with wrong motivations and teach that this is the way for you to get a $1 million home and drive a Ferrari and all of these other things. And God's not against you having things. I'm not saying that you have to drive a cheap car or live in a cheap house, but I'm saying that the motive cannot be just carnal and to get all of this stuff. It says over in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that if you want to be rich, that you pierce yourself through with many sorrows and hurtful lusts which drown men in perdition. Let me see if I can find this verse. I think it's in Proverbs chapter 28. He that hasteneth to be rich has an evil eye. If you are hastening to be rich, you have an evil eye. And here's a passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 6 that'll tell you what an evil eye is. In Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 19, it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal." Now, you know, it takes a little bit of thought to be able to get what this is talking about, because there's other scriptures that say that a righteous man will leave an inheritance to his children's children. So this cannot be saying that you can't have a bank account or a savings account or any assets that when you die, there is no inheritance left. Now, you could take that from these passages, but to harmonize with other passages of Scripture, that's not what this is talking about. Actually, here's the way that I look at this. When you are building up assets and you have a bank account and savings and you're preparing for your children and your grandchildren, that's not laying up treasures for yourself. That's being a giver. You are accumulating things. You, in a sense, are building wealth to be able to pass on and allow your seed after you to be able to have it easier than what you had. So that's really not selfish. That's providing for other people. But when it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but instead lay up treasures in heaven, how do you do that? You can't take money to heaven with you. It just doesn't happen. Money and all that stuff doesn't work in heaven. That is a physical thing that operates here on this earth. So how is it that you lay up treasures in heaven? When you take your money, and this isn't limited to money, you could also talk about showing love towards people, doing good towards people, but the rest of these verses are talking about money. So I think that the context of this includes money. It's not limited to that. But this is saying that when you take your money and you give to a ministry like mine that is sharing the gospel all over the world, and there are people being born again in India and in South Africa and in Australia and in Canada and every country of the world, people are receiving. When you give money and you help me to do that, you are taking that money and you're sowing it into people's lives. And people's lives are being changed. And then according to Luke chapter 16, verse 10, someday when you die, there will be people lined up in heaven to greet you and say, thank you for that money that you shared with Andrew, because through that I learned the truth. I got born again. You know, I just read last night about a Hindu, and I forgot what country that was in, but they were watching the program. They got born again. It's totally changed their life. And you're going to have Hindus and Muslims and Buddhists and people from all of these other religions, all of these other countries that are going to come, and they're going to thank you for the money that you've sown in. And so you are laying up treasures in heaven. You are converting something that is temporary that will pass away into something eternal that will never pass away. So that's what he's talking about here, is invest in the kingdom. And thieves can't steal that. Moth and rust can't get to the things. The money that you invest in the kingdom, that is the highest, best use of your money that you can possibly get. Every bit amount of money that you invest in a house, that you invest in a car, that you invest in your jewelry, that you invest in clothes and food, and those things are necessary. I'm not saying that we shouldn't put money into that. You couldn't live if you don't. But all of the money that you put into these earthly, temporary things, someday that's all going to be gone. Your house will be dissolved, your car in heaven, we're going to look at that and think, what a terrible means of transportation compared to what we have in heaven. And, you know, someday all of those things will be gone, but all of the money that you give away to put into the kingdom to change people's lives and to share the gospel, that'll never leave your life. A million years from today, you'll be fellowshipping with people in heaven over the money that you've given away. And if we could really see things in the light of eternity and see what is really important, I guarantee you, your attitude would be, God, how little do I have to be able to be comfortable and to be a godly witness here? And how much can I possibly put into eternity? How much can I possibly change into something eternal that moth and rust cannot corrupt? Well, that is powerful truth. He goes on to say in the next verse, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, it's interesting to me that he didn't say where your heart is, there your treasure will be. Now, I believe that that is a truth, and that you can tell where a person's heart is by what they've got invested. For instance, you know, if a person is just a sports fanatic, it will be reflected in the things that they buy, in the things that they do. In the money that they spend and stuff like that. If a person is into just movies, and if that is where their heart is, it will be reflected. They will have DVDs, Blu-rays, and things like this, and it will be reflected in their money. So I think it is accurate to say that where your heart is, there your treasure will be. But he said specifically here, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Opposite what most people would just immediately think. And what this is saying is you can actually direct your heart in a direction by putting your money there. You know, if you were standing here physically in front of me, and if I took your purse or your billfold, whatever it is that contains all of your money, and if you gave that to me, and then I walked out the door, you know what? Your heart would go with me. You might still be in that place. You might still have something else to do and you might be doing something else, but I guarantee you, your heart, your focus would be with me wondering, what is Andrew going to do with this money? When your money goes someplace, your heart goes with it. If you were putting huge amount of money aside, say into the stock market or something, I guarantee you, you're going to follow the stock market. You're going to figure out what's happening because your money is there. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what a great deal that you can actually use money to move your heart more towards God. The more you invest into the kingdom of God, the more your heart is going to be on the things of God. And then he said this in verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? You know, in verses 22 and 23, I don't think he's talking physically about your physical eye. I believe what he's saying is that, you know, your eye is how you see. It's how you focus. It's how you perceive and relate to the world. And this is talking about that your focus needs to be single upon the things of God. That's what he's talking about in verse 22. And he says, in contrast, but if thine eye be evil. So we can see that anything that isn't single upon God is evil. Now, that's a major statement. And again, I go back to that scripture in Proverbs chapter 28, I think it's verse 22, that says, he that hasteneth to be rich has an evil eye. You know what? It's wrong for us to be so focused on finances and what finances can produce, getting a house, getting a car, having retirement and doing all of these things. It's wrong to be so focused on that that it takes our attention away from God. That's the point that he's making right here. Our eye needs to be single. If all we are is trusting God, seeking God, following after God, then our whole body is filled with light. Jesus is light. He is the light of the world. We will be filled with light. We'll have joy and peace and health and victory when our focus is completely upon God. But how do you do this? Because we have to make a living. And you can't just be praying all of the time. You can't be in church all of the time. How is it that you can work a job and still be focused on the Lord? Well, the way you do it is you make God your source. Even though you work a job and you work for an employer and you do a good job, God is actually your source. And you get focused on Him. And if you do that, then your eye is single. Even though you're working a job, you're saying, Father, I'm trusting You. You can keep your mind stayed on God. You can pray over that job and let God help you. You know, I've used an example earlier in this series about how I at one time was in a financial bind and I couldn't pay the man that was holding the note on my house. I couldn't make my house payment. I went to him and told him, I said, I'm sorry I don't have it, but I'll make it good. And he said, well, you can work it off in my photography studio. And you know what? I had to go to work 40 hours a week to pay off my debt to this guy. And I didn't have any ability in this photography studio, how to develop pictures, but I've already given the testimony. I'm just using this to illustrate that, you know what? I kept my mind focused on God all day long, every day, developing pictures. I prayed over it, and I developed pictures better than the owner of that business. He came to me and he says, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know how you do this, but you're doing things that he had been developing pictures for over 20 years. And he says, I've never been able to do these things. And he says, just keep doing it. And within a short period of time, he offered me a partnership in his business because I kept my eyes single on the Lord. I was working for another person. I was receiving finances through that, paying off a debt, but I was still focused on God. You can do your job. You can do whatever you do heartily as unto the Lord and not unto man. You can keep your focus on the Lord. And this is the point that he's making right here, is that you need to stay focused on God. How do you do that and still make a living? Well, you make God the source of your prosperity. And how is it that you do that? Well, you take a portion of what you're getting. You take the first fruits of that paycheck and you give it back to God. You sow into the kingdom of God. You find somebody who's preaching the gospel and you help them to get the gospel out. And when you do that, you know what? That is making your eye single upon God. God is your source. Even though you work for a person and they may give you a check, it's God that has given you your talents and ability. It's God that's given you the freedom. It's God who's prospering you. And because of that, your focus stays single upon God. And even when there's a layoff, even when there's a recession, even when there's problems, it doesn't affect you because God's your source. God will keep you on that job when other people get laid off. Or if you get laid off, it's because He's got something better for you. And God is your source. He may be using this employer, but God is your source. Your employer is not your source. You know, that is so easy to say, and yet it's hard for some people to see that. And yet I have lived this. I've, you know, not always been a minister. I've worked for other people. I've poured concrete for a living. I've done a lot of different jobs. And you know what? God was my source, and God calls me to prosper. I used to process film for the Arlington Public School System in Arlington, Texas. And I spliced the film and delivered the film and did all of this stuff. And you know what? I prayed over that. I did it as if I was doing it directly for the Lord. And within a short period of time, 6 months, they offered me a position with retirement. I was a college dropout. I had no reason in the natural, but God just prospered me. When you do whatever you do, hardly as unto the Lord and not unto men, then God causes it to prosper. God is your source. It keeps your heart focused on Him. You don't just get up in the morning and spend a little 30-minute devotion and then turn God off and go the rest of the day in your flesh and doing things under your own ability. I don't know if I'm communicating this and getting it across to you, but I think that the majority of Christians even departmentalize their life. And there's the spiritual thing, Sunday or devotional time or Bible reading time and stuff. But then when they get to work, it's just carnal. And I can tell you that. Based on experience dealing with some Christians, that they're just mean as snakes. They're vicious. And they say, but this is the way it is in the business world. It's like they have the spiritual side of them, and then they have the business side of them that operates by all of the laws of the world and the carnal, and stab people in the back and lie about your product and misrepresent it and criticize your competition and do all of these things. And it's just business. No, you should be a Christian in everything that you do. You ought to be putting God first. And one of the ways you do that is to take a portion of what He gives you and give it back to God. And by doing that, your heart will be where your treasure is. If you start taking money and investing it in the kingdom, and you do that consistently, it will keep you single-minded on God. And even though you're working a job and doing these things, you know that God is your source. And this is basically what he just goes on to say through the rest of this chapter. You know, I'm running out of time on today's program, but let me just summarize this. He starts talking about the lilies of the fields, the birds of the air. They don't worry. They don't struggle. God provides for them. And he says that you are much better than a bird, much better than a lily. If God provides for these things, these animals, these plants like this, how much more will He provide for you? And he concludes it in verse 33 by saying, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. This is talking about first in your finances. Seeking God first in everything, in your job. You put God first. Make God first in everything you do. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all of these things. And in context, the things that were listed in verses 25 on through verse 32 was talking about what you eat, where you sleep, what you're clothed with. If you will put first the kingdom of God, then God will add to you your physical necessities. I'm going to say something right here that I've said this many, many times, and the majority of people, it just goes over their head. You cannot understand this with just your brain. You have to catch this with your heart. So I'm just encouraging you to put up your antenna to catch this with your heart, because it's totally opposite what the world thinks. But if you will trust God with your finances and not just say that you do, but do it in action, put first the kingdom of God, take the first fruits and give the 10% and even offerings above that directly to the Lord. And if you trust God and make God your source and trust Him, and if you do that and put God first, then God will supernaturally pay your rent, pay your mortgage, pay your things. He will prosper you. God will take care of your needs if you take care of His needs. Now, I know that that doesn't make sense to the natural mind. We think, if I did that, and if I started putting God first, what about me? I wouldn't have a new car. I wouldn't be able to live in this house. I wouldn't be able to do this. In the natural, that's what it looks like, but it's exactly the opposite. It takes faith. You have to catch this by your heart, that when you put first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all of these other things, where you sleep, that's talking about your house, your provision, what you eat, what you're clothed with, God will supernaturally take care of those things. If you are struggling to get your necessities met, it's because you're in charge. When you put God in charge, when you say, all right, God, I don't have a lot, but I'm going to take the 10%, the very first 10%, before I do anything else, I'm going to give to you and to your kingdom first. When you do that first, God will start taking care of your needs. And God is El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. God will take care of you better than you would take care of yourself. You know, I hadn't got time today, but I've mentioned this briefly, but I have lived this, not perfectly, but I've tried to live this. I put God first. My wife and I have always given. When it came time for us to buy a house, I was going to have to put a trailer house on this property that we had bought because I just didn't have the money. This has been 23 years ago. And I was just going to have to put a trailer house on it because that's what I could afford. And yet a guy in my church said, you don't want a trailer home. You want a home. And I said, well, that's what I want, but I don't have the money. And he said, I'm a builder. I'll help you. And we had a $120,000 house is what it would have cost to build it. We had it built for $60,000 and were able to move in because we had put God first and God just supernaturally took care of us. Now that is all paid off. Everything is paid for. God has blessed us. And it came because we put first the kingdom of God. God has taken care of where I sleep, what I eat, what I'm clothed with. God has provided for me. And I tell you, you can get to a place to where you don't have any care or worry or responsibility about your own finances because you are taking responsibility to be faithful with that 10% or 15%. And if you will be faithful with that and put God first, God will take care of your need.
CBC points you to God, a relationship with God. That's what I came here for, and that's what CBC does.
Charis Bible College has been making disciples and changing lives since 1994, and we've outgrown our Colorado Springs facility. Phase one of our new Woodland Park CBC campus has been fully funded and completed, and phase two of the project is gearing up right now. Andrew and Jamie would like to give you the opportunity to join hands with them by becoming a foundation builder and contributing financially toward building the lives of CBC world changers. You can get more information by calling, writing, or logging on to awmi.net/partnership. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College today. Change your life. Change the world.
She was a grayish-white color, and she was still, and she had all these wires coming in and out of her. She was she was laid out on a table to be ready to be transported.
When I got into the car to follow the ambulance over to UAB, I had my quiet moment. And I was just praying, God, I know your will in her life. I know you want to heal. It's your will to heal. God wants you well. That kept coming back to my mind. And then the doctor said the heart did not develop. We run echograms. We only see a very small left side of her heart. And if it hadn't been for what Andrew had revealed to me in his teaching, I couldn't have held on to that. I would have spoke death. I would have I've let go of that faith. And this was the time.
Catch the complete story today. Log on to awmi.net. Click on Ministry News. And take a healing journey today.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to join me on July the 4th through the 8th for our Summer Family Bible Conference right here in Colorado Springs. And it goes through Monday night through Friday night, July the 4th through the 8th. We have children's ministry. We will have 3 hours worth of classes in our Caris Bible College in the mornings on Tuesday through Friday. And it's just going to be a great time for the entire family. It's a great time to be in Colorado in the summer. You'd love it. So it's going to be Monday through Friday, July the 4th through the 8th, the Summer Family Bible Conference right here in Colorado Springs.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Financial Stewardship is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The sixth audio teaching in today's series is also available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this sixth teaching titled, Your Partnership in the Kingdom, Free of Charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled, Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword, for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You do not have to motivate God to heal. God wants to heal more than you want to be healed.
The almost too good to be true news you can use. www.awmi.net. Basically, what he's doing is